and welcome to It's Not My Fault This Podcast Is Not Popular, coming to you from the OASG, where we talk about anime, news, manga, and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Muse.
I'm Justin.
And we have a lot of news to cover this time since we last left off.
But before we actually get into all that, I am curious, how far have you gotten in Fire Emblem so far?
I still haven't beaten Birthright. I'm two chapters away from beating it. I put it down for a few days because I had to deal with stuff at work.
It's Birthright.
I know.
If I say Conquest, I'm still playing Conquest, and I have an excuse. Conquest is so hard.
Yeah, you have a reason. I just had to put it down for a few days, but I'm hoping I can finish it up tonight.
I just reached chapter 25 and I'm just how am I supposed to beat this chapter? My core is pretty weak. What the heck? So I have to figure that mess out, but I'll find a way. Otherwise, how's the week been for you?
It's been good. Things have been picking up at work for me, getting kind of busy, been applying for full-time jobs and all that stuff. So, real life, adult responsibilities.
That sounds boring, but fun in a way.
It's important, but yeah.
It is also important, too. Also, finally got a chance to watch Daredevil.
Oh, cool. I still need to check that out.
It's not as, I don't know if it's good as season one. The only thing is I do like the character development that happened. I think it's a little bit better than the first season. That's mainly because first season had it right around one big, one evil guy. This one has multiple evil people. So it's okay, I think certain situations happen that makes it change. But that was probably also its biggest weakness, I think. But I'm not going to get too into that. I still say you should watch season two, but they just have a little bit of issues compared to season one.
Well, speaking of new seasons, this is our first bit of anime news for this week that just came out this morning from when we're recording. Natsume's Book of Friends season 5 coming out. I am so excited.
You're going to have to tell me your excitement, because I unfortunately have only watched a couple episodes of the first season, so you're going to
You need to catch up. You're going to need to catch up.
Is this going to be a project I should work on?
Yes, you should. You should, yeah, make that a project. You got to see the rest of it. I love that show so much. It's technically a shoujo title, I think. Something like that, but it's
Yeah, it's shoujo.
It's one of those titles that kind of defies the categorization. I'd sooner call it supernatural more than shoujo.
Like certain shows that say they're a certain genre, like Chiharu, which supposedly is in a Jose magazine, but it's not really a Jose title, is it?
Yeah, I think it's because of the magazine that it runs in, but it's one of those shows that I recommend this to anybody and everybody who has a passing interest in it. A while back, Helen and I did that piece on it last year for Shoujo You Should Know on the OASG over the summer, and that was one of the titles that both of us were yes, this one. We need to talk about this one. This show, it's so good. For those of you listening who may have no clue what I am talking about, Natsume's Book of Friends is about a teenage boy who can see spirits, specifically spirits from Japanese folklore, and that's kind of messed up his life a bit, but he learns where the story starts. He learns to work with them, accept them as part of his life. His life starts to improve, the Book of Friends bit of it. Because he gets his power from his grandmother, and she went around and stole the names of the spirits and put them all in a book. And the spirits want their names back, and some of them are not very friendly about this. But Natsume goes around and returns the names to the spirits, and it just kind of follows. That's how it starts, but it grows into something a lot bigger and deeper than that, and I won't spoil it from there. It's just something that needs to be seen or watched or read. I recommend both the manga and the anime. They're both fantastic.
Is Brainspace working on season 5?
I believe so. I just saw that the announcement was made and just freaked out, so but I imagine it is. I can't really see anybody else working on that at this point.
We never know. It might have just been what was that one? Wasn't there one series that had studios change? Oh, maybe not. Maybe I'm thinking something different. Okay, yeah, I get you sound excited, that's for sure.
I'm so excited. That's one of my all-time favorite series, for sure.
I know some people that really like that series, so I'm pretty sure when they heard about it, first they probably had to pinch themselves to make sure they were awake and it wasn't a joke. And then once they realized it was real, that yeah, oh my God, I can't wait. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I thought for a second it was maybe an Anime Maro joke or something. It was just like Natsume season 5, and then I looked through and like, oh, they're not. It's not a joke. So yeah, if you haven't seen the series or you started the first season where it's a little more episodic and it takes a little bit to kind of grow on you, here is your chance to catch up and see what all the excitement is about. So I will definitely be watching that when that comes out. I'm very, very excited about that announcement.
Speaking of, like you mentioned, like you thought the Natsume season 5 thing might have been a joke. Speaking of jokes, when I found out that Amazon was actually got rights to what was the anime? Iron Kanabari, I think it was. That was that first spring anime that supposedly people were calling it Attack on Titans like 2 or something like that.
Yeah, who knows? We'll see.
I haven't watched the trailer of it, so I'm going to be doing that soon, but hopefully I can do that this week, but we'll see. But yeah, that's what I hear. When I heard that, like, oh, Amazon's getting into the anime streaming game. That's interesting. Then I find out that they are getting exclusive streaming rights to the Notiana block. Unless you have an Amazon Prime account already, because obviously using Amazon Prime for other reasons aside from just streaming and stuff, it kind of just seemed like a joke to me. That I guess that's my gut reaction just from like thinking about it for a while. Like it seems like it's almost like why? I guess
Yeah.
it's like.
It was a really odd announcement because it's like not just one thing, but Amazon getting into simulcasting, like that's one thing. And then it's not only that, but it's an exclusive simulcast, and that yeah, it was really surprising. I didn't even know. I know that they've been trying to push Prime more for, TV shows over here.
Yeah.
Like kind of like trying to be an alternative to Hulu in the sense. Yeah, and Netflix, but I didn't know that they had any interest in anime simulcasting on top of that. I mean, maybe they took that as a cue from Netflix and they're trying to compete on that end as well, but yeah.
Maybe this is where Crunchyroll comes in. Like they've been building for a while now, and then all of a sudden, like they've grown to a point that maybe other companies, like they probably, like, I'm pretty sure, like. May well maybe not, but I'm pretty sure like they may talk to some people, get some word about Crunchyroll and stuff like that, and they think, maybe we can get a little bit of that pie that they have and see if we can corner that market.
Yeah, that's what it's kind of. I'm not used to anime market being something that big companies want to corner,
Thing is, like I was like when I was doing, I was looking for more information on this. Justin Savakis of Anime News Network. He pretty much knows everything. Kind of knows everything because he does BD, DVD work. He's basically been in the industry for a long time. In this like recent column he did, like somebody obviously asked a question about Amazon streaming having the exclusive world rights. And then what I'm gonna have to quote this whole thing because it almost just blew my mind a little bit, or really it just like surprised me as like what? And I quote, like one of the paragraphs he said, Amazon's new deal with Fuji TV for several Notiama shows, however, is a different ballgame entirely. It's impossible to overstate what a big deal that was. Amazon has more money than God, and the amount they were rumored to be offering for exclusive worldwide streaming rights for a series was by far the highest price I've ever heard of being paid for anime rights, enough to pay for the entire production and then some.
Jeez. Yeah, so they're taking this really seriously, like this is potentially huge. Well, it's already huge.
This makes me go back to like other stuff that happened like earlier, a little bit like the end of last year and then into this year. Anime is getting expensive.
Yeah, it's so that you got. Not only is it getting super expensive, and it's getting to like the big corporations want a piece of it. And it's like, what is happening to this our weird little niche hobby? Like, I'm not saying that one way or another, good or bad. But it's just like, whoa, I'm not used to this kind of attention.
At the rate it's going, it's not going to be a niche anymore. It's
Yeah.
going to be mainstream. I'm trying to figure out how is this gonna work? I mean, like, now I always said, like I said in the past before, that we can always use more streaming sites because there's so many, like, illegal streaming sites out there. So it's like, if you find, like, one illegal streaming site, you'll just find another. The only thing is, if you're only keeping it on one site, making it exclusive, then it's only just gonna, you're just basically saying, you can't watch anywhere else. Too bad.
Yeah, because part of the simulcast boom a few years ago, that part of that was to combat the piracy, to make it easier to get the legal version than it is to get the illegal version. When you lock it all down to one website, then that does open up for piracy. I mean, like, look at Game of Thrones, for instance. You know, most pirated show, because it was locked down, you know, on HBO's website, being the only place you could get it legally online.
Well, Game of Thrones is, like, huge.
No, I know Game of Thrones is huge, but I'm just saying that's the biggest example I can think of. I don't know if Amazon is aware that of how deeply piracy is entrenched in the anime fan base. They may not necessarily immediately come running to drop money on Prime just to watch this show.
Yeah. Like, I'm just thinking that for now, I think, yeah, especially for, it can't just be just Notiamna shows. They have to be streaming other stuff. And even if they are, for $99, because if you're not, you're only going to pay $99 a year if you're going to use anything else on Amazon, like, actually, like, buying other stuff or just watching other stuff on Amazon. You're not just going to pay $99 a year for just streaming, for Notiamna shows. And
right.
I bet you something. Oh, well, it's just Notiamna shows. They've been on a downturn for a while. It doesn't care. We don't care. Some could be like that.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen with this? It's just one of those things that I just kind of want to watch and see what happens, you know, with this. See if there's something that is it a one-off for Amazon. Like, they're just trying to see what they can do with this market. Are they so serious about this that this is going to continue? Like, this is another, you know, streaming site that we're going to have to watch, or, you know, will not watch necessarily, but, like, you know, keep an eye out for with license announcements.
Well, I don't know, Muse. If they offer apparently all this money and they're making this an exclusive, they have to be taking it seriously. They have to. There's no way. They had to have done the research. And then it had to really believe that anime is rising or just growing. I think they're going to be in this for a while. But you wonder how this is going to hurt everybody else. Or if it hurts anybody else.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, and we talked about this on the last episode of, you know, the alternate sources of money. Because anime has gotten so expensive to make, you know, that they're turning to different revenue sources. And I know, like, Crunchyroll has, been on producer credits for smaller scale anime shows, like, for shorts and things like that. With Amazon kicking in supposedly that much money, is that going to be something that studios are looking for going forward? You know, like, looking at the streaming model of, like, who are we going to stream with and how much money are they going to kick towards production? Like, is that going to be more of that kind of partnership going forward?
Right. I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know. We'll have to see. But I don't... From just, like, my initial, like, just thoughts, we have to see what else... We have to see what Amazon does from here. But if they're just going to be doing this, then it's probably not a good thing. That's just my thoughts on that. Because then also, like this week, this past week, we somewhat lost the streaming place, Viewster. Like, they announced they closed their Omakase box. And, it's not probably a surprise, because when they announced it, like, they only had, what was it, Naruto, Kill la Kill, and then they just did the Hatsune Miku box.
Because they did do a hard social media push for that, I remember, that they wanted it to be the anime alternative to Loot Crate.
Right.
And, like, it was potentially interesting, but...
It's hard to beat Loot Crate, I guess.
I guess so, yeah.
But then, I didn't realize this, but yeah, until I was reading about it, but they haven't actually been trying to get new anime, which is, the thing is, like, they're intended to be, like, streaming for the outside North America, so it made me wonder if they tried to grow too big, but unfortunately, that wasn't gonna work out.
Yeah, like, I'd heard of them a bit before, the Omakase box thing started, and I thought it was interesting in terms of, you know, being, and they, it seemed like they wanted to be an international alternative, you know, for people who get region locked out. And I thought that was pretty cool of them. But yeah, now I wonder with this announcement if they pushed too forward too fast and then the cost got too much for them to keep going.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that's just, obviously that's just speculation. I can't say what's going on.
The only thing that made me think back to Houston now is that I went to their, or I stopped at their panel back in Comic-Con last year. They had like one of the big rooms, so like I think they expected a lot of people to be there, but when I showed up, there was like a couple of people that only took up like half, maybe like one, no, probably half the room. Like it was kind of, it wasn't that big of a room, like maybe like 300 chairs or something like that. But they only filled up half of that. So either, maybe they couldn't compete with all the other events. I'm trying to remember what else was happening at that time.
It seemed like they wanted to be the next Crunchyroll. But Crunchyroll is like in its heyday right now, I would say. Like, they're doing excellent, and it's taken them years to get to this point. I mean, and when they first, you know, stopped being a piracy site, like, people were really, really upset with them. The fallout was massive. Their people are still mad at them, even, but they've gotten to a point, you know, where they're the ones to compete with right now in streaming, I think. And to seem like Viewster wanted to be that competition for them, but they expected it to be that competition like right out the gate where nobody really knew who they were.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they really want to compete with Crunchyroll, because then you still have, it's not just Crunchyroll they're trying to compete with, it's also like Funimation, Daisuke.
I guess maybe alternative would have been, would be a better word.
But yeah, like, I guess they, my just thoughts are just that maybe they just went too fast with everything, or, I think they really wanted to hope, they, I think they really hope Omakase would be the difference between, like, any other, site that streams anime, but it just didn't work out. So that makes me think, now that, with this Amazon thing, like, is this gonna encourage more places to try and stream anime? It's probably unlikely. Unless Amazon is really devoted to just keeping, holding rights over for just the Nautiama shows. If they just do that, then maybe there might be a competition, but I doubt it. It's a very limited field right now.
Yeah, it's like so much of this stuff. It's just, it's wait and see. We're just gonna have to see how that pans out. So, moving on. Speaking of what I mentioned earlier with studios looking for alternative revenue sources for the various things they want to do, we talked last episode about Kickstarters with anime, and the Skip Beat campaign relaunched this past week. They took it off Indiegogo, and they went to Kickstarter.
Oh, it's still up there. The actual page is still up there, but...
No, but they refunded all of the pledges. Like, I got my pledge refund, like, I think an hour after the Kickstarter page went up. So, like, the I'm sure the Indiegogo page is still there, but there's no money in there anymore. They took it all out.
There's like $1 still left there.
Maybe it's just there just to redirect or something. But I know, yeah, but I got my pledge got refunded. When the Kickstarter page first went live, there were people in the comments section saying that they were waiting until they got their refunds and then would report back saying, okay, I got my refund, now I'm pledging over here.
Yeah, and then already, like, the difference between both of them is so wide. It's just like...
Oh, yeah, they made, like, I think they, like, more than doubled what the Indiegogo version had in a day.
Like, it took like it didn't take that long either. Like,
no.
Crazy. Like, they still asked for a lot of money, but I think, like, at the rate they're going, they're probably gonna get it fulfilled.
Well, it's lower than what the Indiegogo was asking already, and it's also, like, I mean, I think we've proved that the anime community widely prefers Kickstarter to Indiegogo, beyond a doubt.
Honestly, I just think it's more like people just use Kickstarter more. Like, you know, disrespect to Indiegogo, like, I'm pretty sure there are people that use it, obviously, there are definitely people that use it. I just think more people are on Kickstarter.
Because when the Indiegogo Skip Beat campaign launch, I saw so many people saying, you know, that they weren't invested enough in the series to immediately pay for it, which is what Indiegogo has you do. You have to immediately pay. And they also didn't like that with the flexible funding, that even if it didn't reach enough that there wasn't a guarantee they would get their money back. I mean, like Pied Piper said, you know, up front, if we're not enough to make the dub, we're giving you your money back. But for some people, you know, like, you know how the internet is, people get burned too many times, so they're like, okay, you know, but I don't have that much faith in this, so I'm just gonna wait and see. And there were so many people saying that they were gonna wait and see. But now with Kickstarter, you know, Kickstarter does not take your money unless it's successful. So I think part of that initial rush was the people who were doing the wait and see, or they didn't have the money right away, or, you know, or the multitude of other reasons that people were stating, and they immediately put it forward for the Kickstarter, since that model is just different. And it's been really working really well for them so far. I'm really happy to see it because I love Skip Beat. That was another manga I covered for Shoujo You Should Know last year. That it's a The manga series is very long, but it's completely worth it, and I wish that there was more of the anime, but unfortunately there isn't. But what is adapted into the anime is excellent. They did a really excellent adaptation job, and it's easy for people to, you know, take a look at it because it's all on Crunchyroll. It's been there for years. I think that was one of their earlier simulcast titles, or at least when I first started watching Crunchyroll. I remember that being on there. But I think that combination of factors, that people can go look at the show immediately and that they don't have to pay up front anymore, that's made the Kickstarter much more successful, and I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, I think a lot of things just like that came into play when it came to whether you want to stream on, whether it's more convenient to just have a Kickstarter for Skip Beat than have a campaign for Indiegogo, I guess.
Yeah, that's just it's a. It also kind of more matches what's going on with the Skip Beat license, that it's an all or nothing campaign, because the only way that it's going to be released, and this is TV Tokyo, who owns the Japanese rights to the show, that they're only allowing a US release if there is a dub, which shows that they don't completely understand the North American anime market, because I think there are people who would buy it subtitled.
But no, actually, well, no, it's not. Well, I interviewed Anne Yamamoto this week, and like I asked her about the dubs and about the requirement a little bit, and then she mentioned that there were North American licensors that just wouldn't consider it. I said I was a little bit surprised at that,
Yeah, that is a little surprising.
because I thought like Skip Beat would be one of those shows that okay, might be there should be people that would want to see it. It's a really popular series. But dubbing is hard. That's the thing. And then, you know, like you said, there's some people that want to watch it sub. But the thing is, if you have it dubbed, you'll have more options to take the title. Like if it's dubbed, you can have it on Netflix. You potentially have it on Netflix. If it's dubbed, you can potentially have it on like one of those Xbox, PS4, 3 networks. Basically, you'd be able to stream, be allowed to stream it elsewhere. If it's just sub, you'll have a limited reach. But as it was saying on the summaries for either for both the Indiegogo and Kickstarter page, they want to try to get this to they want to try to reach a wider audience. So I think that may be one reason why TV Tokyo demanded that it has to have be dubbed. But you may be right that they may not understand. Well, they might have some understanding of the North American market, but yeah, I think they did try. Maybe they may have gone a little bit too far and tried to say it had to come with a dub.
Yeah, I think that's the part that I'm kind of sick of, because we've seen in the last couple of years the success that subtitled only series can have, and then later, you know, going back and adding in a dub. That is a model that has proven to work over here. But at the same time, I am glad that since the campaign has been, you know, now it's getting very successful. And I think that at the rate they're going, they're going to make it. And then it having the dub, like you said, that gives more opportunities for it to be elsewhere, you know, not just Crunchyroll, even though that's a great platform for it to have started on, you know, to reach out to more people. Like, I'm aware of other anime fans who won't watch a show unless it is dubbed, just because they prefer to watch it that way. You know, they don't like to read when they're watching TV, you know, all that kind of stuff, and I understand that. Also, to speak to what you said with other licensors saying no on it, I think that part of it has to do with that stigma, you know, that shoujo anime doesn't sell, allegedly, which I think it doesn't sell because nobody takes a chance on it. There's none of it out there, which is why I really, really want this to succeed, because, I mean, this is not just because it's a series that I like a lot, but because I want to personally prove those naysayers wrong, you know, that there is a very underserved market for that over here, and I wish it wouldn't just be with every title, like, oh, well, that doesn't sell, where we have like, for example, Kamisama Kiss completely blowing Funimation's doors off and them not, you know, expecting it to get that kind of response, because this market is starved for good shoujo. And Skip Beat is a good shoujo. So if you're listening and you're on the fence about Skip Beat, go give it a look. It's not your standard shoujo. It's a lot of fun. I like it for that reason, that it's not standard. I've seen some people being kind of petty and like, well, but the art style's ugly, and I'm like, just watch it.
It's a typical shoujo
Just
style.
watch
That's the high school, that the romance thing going on and everything.
Because here's the thing, it's not a romance show, it's a revenge show. It's about that feeling when a guy just crushes you, and instead of feeling sorry for yourself, you're like, you know what the best revenge is? To have a kick butt life. And I'm gonna prove him wrong. And that's what the show's about. And it's excellent. It's a series about, you know, self-love and you know, finding that inner strength and, you know, rising above the romance cliches, actually. And that's one of the reasons why I love it, because it does actually turn around on a lot of those things and speaks to something that I know I've felt throughout life, and I know a lot of other people have as well, regardless of your gender. And it's a really inspiring show in that regard. So it does make me a little sad to see people saying like, "Oh, but I don't like the style," or "just I don't just like shoujo," and I'm like, "Just give it a chance. Literally, just give the first episode a chance. It will surprise you." So yeah, that is my Skip Beat plea. That is my pitch. So I'll add a link to that in the show notes for the Kickstarter.
Yeah, you guys should
Yeah,
definitely
check it out.
consider
it's one of these all or nothing deals.
Yeah,
So
and
even if it's just a dollar just to support these kind of projects, please consider it.
it's just a dollar. Just a dollar. Anyways, so okay, that's we covered a lot of stuff, but I think there's a bit more we want to talk about. Like, I think there's some news that might have caught your interest this week.
Yeah, there was something from last week. I kind of watched this unfold on Twitter specifically. So Justin, hypothetical question.
Oh.
If you were an anime company, or you ran an anime company, and you were a fan of this art house anime movie, and you thought to yourself, hey, more people should see this art house anime movie, would you A, just like tweet about it on your massive social media resources, you know, just get the word out there, B, do a review on it, continue using the social media, get the word out, or C, take a fan sub of the movie, put it on your YouTube channel, and pretend this is completely legit, despite the fact that you do not have the license for that movie. And just leave it there until Twitter tells you that that's illegal and you should probably take it down. What would you do?
Okay, one, that has to be the longest sentence for a multiple choice question ever. Longest one ever received. That is the longest one I can think of. Two, why isn't there a D option? The D option would be obviously all of the above. I mean, come on. I can tweet about it, or if you have a review, and then tweet about it, and then do whatever receipt was, and do all that together. I'll do that. But well, if it was me, I would probably, if you really want to know, I would do B. But why are you asking me this, Muse?
Because C was what happened last week with Tokyopop and a movie called Angel's Egg. Apparently, Stu Levy thinks that it's cool to just take fan subs of movies and put them on Tokyopop's YouTube and just say, yeah, watch this movie. And Tokyo Pop does not have the license for Angel's Egg. And they've made a big deal in the past about being, you know, anti-fan sub, anti-scanlations, you know, making a big deal whenever anyone takes their stuff. But if it's something that, and his excuse on Twitter was, but I'm raising awareness. So I guess if it's something that he's not directly making money off of, it's fair game. That seemed to be the indirect message he was sending, which is why I'm kind of calling him out on this podcast. That was,
So many words, but I'm not even sure if any of them will be coherent. I guess the first thing is that, yeah, this is a little bit... No, Stu, this is just a little bit hypocritical, I think.
Yeah, that's the sticking point for me, is the hypocrisy of it.
That's one. And then, like, two, like, the thing is, I remember, like, this Kickstarter, I guess, I know some blogger... I had followed a couple years ago. I think he was talking about Angel A, and he had it on his site and everything, and he had the YouTube link. So when I found out about this, I was like, so they literally just like upload, like, did they steal a fan sub?
They stole a fan sub, apparently. I didn't see the videos. Like I said, I watched this unfold on Twitter, and the way it started out was people saying, oh, the Angel's Eggs movie is on Tokyopop's YouTube right now. I guess they stream it now. I guess they have the streaming license. And I remember thinking, oh, okay, that's cool. You know, I've heard of that movie. You know, maybe I'll check it out later or something. And I think I went back on Twitter an hour later. And during that time, people had figured out that this was what you just mentioned, the fan sub of the movie, how a lot of people had seen it several years ago, that they recognized the fan sub. And so people started tweeting at Tokyopop, you know, why do you have a fan sub on your website? Do you have the streaming rights? Did you get the streaming rights and then just took the fan sub? Or did you just take the fan sub and put it on your YouTube? And it seems like it turned out to be the latter. They just stole a fan sub and put it on their channel. And it took there was one Twitter account that I follow, and I can't remember the name right now, but there was one person who was tweeting directly at Stu Levy saying, you know, hey, I get it, because his excuse was, I'm trying to raise awareness for this movie, his exact words, raise awareness. And someone was tweeting at him saying, hey, there's raising awareness through social media, through writing a review, and then there's literally taking a fan sub and illegally streaming it. That's what you're doing right now. and it wasn't until they said that, and I guess something finally clicked for him, and he took it down. And just the whole thing is just baffling to me.
You know what was more baffling was that the more baffling thing was that there were actually news sites that were covering it. Like, they actually thought that, I guess they thought that Tokyopop actually licensed the series.
Yeah, that's what everybody thought at first. We thought this was a license they had picked up. But that wasn't the case.
The thing is, it kind of made me think that they didn't look at it, though, because they should have already known that, yeah, the Angel's Egg hasn't actually been licensed. Like, it was clearly, like, taken from, like, it was clearly stolen. Like, it felt a little weird. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Because just because it's Tokyopop doesn't necessarily mean that they actually licensed it. They could just done a little bit of research just to check and see if they actually had the rights to it.
But that speaks to that assumption, since this wasn't, you know, Tokyopop is basically Stu Levy, but that speaks to that assumption when you've got, you know, they're a licensor. So when you see something under an official licensor's name, you know, on the channel, you're going to assume that, oh, they got the license for this. You know, this is, like, I can't even think of an equivalent for this. It's so weird. This would be, like, the Funimation taking, like, I don't know, like, say, like, 2 years ago. Like, say, like, Funimation got a Sailor Moon movie and put it on their channel. Got, like, the fan sub rip for the Sailor Moon S movie and put it on their channel. Like, you guys should see this movie. It's really cool. It's like, you don't have the license for that, though. I don't know.
I would just honestly just say that if it was any other company, I would totally believe it, and I wouldn't fault any of the news sites reporting it at all. But it's Tokyopop. We know what Togepop has done for, like, the past couple years. And then in addition to that, they've been out of the game for, like, so long.
Yeah, I will say that as crazy as this situation was, I wasn't surprised it was Togepop. Because that's what they do, is they steal stuff. That's how I know them. If anyone's listening and thinks I'm being mean, I'm not. You can go look at all their contract nonsense from when they dropped out of the game. They have they completely screwed over so many English creators with their original English manga initiative, completely stealing rights out from under people and then trying to start that again when they came back.
That's the hilarious part.
Yeah, they're not interested in doing things the right way. They're interested in doing things that will turn them a profit and get them attention. To the point that I almost even didn't want to talk about it on this podcast.
Oh, you know we had to talk about just how foolish this was.
But it's so crazy that we have to, just to point out that, like, you know, this is... Not only is it incredibly hypocritical, but it speaks to what's wrong with their business practice. That they don't understand that you can't just take things.
Yeah, and it makes me think just maybe Stu Levy has to think about letting somebody else take the reins of that company, because...
Yeah.
I heard he's actually a really nice guy, that he's actually somebody you can talk to, but in this, like, situation where you're running a company, you can't trust him right now. You just can't.
Yeah, it just can't. Just with the things that Togepop has done in the past, and now this showing that they still have a disregard for what's going on, you know, what's a proper business practice. I cannot trust them at all with anything. Anything that has their name on it, I kind of side-eye, you know, I cannot trust Togepop as a company.
Yeah. That definitely was some news. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very interesting day on Twitter. We went from, oh, they're in the anime licensing game, to, oh, no, they're not.
Yeah, weren't they focused on that pop comics thing or whatever? Going straight to anime, wow.
Yeah, they're just going everywhere.
Yeah. Gonna eventually go back to doing live-action films again. Oh, God, no. Please, please, no. please, hope, no, please. Anyways, we're done with Togepop. We're just done.
Yeah.
Did anything else catch your interest this week?
No, I've been focused on following the Skippy Kickstarter, and then this morning just flailing over Natsume Season 5, yay. And I've been trying to catch up on other shows. I've fallen behind on most things this season, but I'm still watching Erased every week. That is definitely the favorite, at least for me, for this season. And a lot of people are mad 2 weeks ago now with the way an episode decided to resolve itself. I don't know why people were mad at that.
I'm personally just wondering if some people were literally just hoping that the show would just, like, finally go on this faded path of going off the rails or something like that. It feels like, I know there's some people that are generally, like, probably disappointed at where it's going, but then I know that there are probably some people that are just like, man, this show, everybody keeps praising it. I think at some point this is gonna, I can't wait to, I hope this show goes off the rails so people can just complain about it. And now it's happening, and like, oh yes, I told you so. And it's a little frustrating.
Yeah, I think we should go into more detail at that probably with a spoiler cast after the season's over. But I will say, like, there were some complaints that I thought were definitely legitimate about that episode. But the majority of the ones I saw were just people, I think, like, because there are so many anime now that just, like, do a plot twist just for the sake of a plot twist. And with Erased, it was leading up to a solution. And when it revealed that solution, people were mad that that was the solution. That they wanted something that was not obvious. And yet I can't agree with that, because that would have been really cruddy writing if it had done something different. But yeah, I'll get into more detail with that with the spoiler cast.
Yeah, if we do a spoiler cast, then yeah, we can totally talk about that, I guess.
But yeah, that's been it for me.
Well, my news is not that much. Just one thing. Like, Viz announced that they're going to be streaming JoJo's Part 4 in April, which I guess it's not a surprise. Viz has been really trying to support the series, especially since the anime company is back. They're now definitely trying to see how well JoJo would do here.
Oh, yeah, I'm really hoping it does well.
I'm a little disappointed though, because Viz has it. no disrespect to Viz, but the thing is, Viz is using Hulu.
Ah, so we're gonna be on a delay.
Well, we may get a delay. I'm not sure, but it's gonna get the ads, and then of course it's only for like the U.S. audience only. And then I personally, since Crunchyroll had the JoJo's titles for a while, I'm just thinking, was this, I don't think this was an exclusive announcement, but I'm betting it mostly will be exclusive, like how One Punch Man was. So it'd be maybe Daisuke might have it. Well, maybe not Daisuke might have it, but it may just be the Viz Hulu thing, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it might just be Viz has the North American rights, and then the rights for other international countries will go elsewhere.
Lucky them. But yeah, I expected Viz to probably see if they want to take a crack at it. So I guess I can't be too bad. I'm just a little disappointed, but just a little bit. But yeah, we'll just see how that goes. But other than that, we did talk about that company already, so we don't talk about them anymore. And yeah, like pretty much the only big thing was the Amazon thing for me this week. That's basically the one thing that, yeah, I wonder how that's gonna go.
Yep, I think that's the theme of this episode. We're gonna wait and see how all this goes. Yeah, I guess time to wrap up then. So that's our show. I'm Muse. You can find me at Subdued Fangirl on Twitter and most other social media websites.
I'm Justin. You may find me on Twitter at Kami_Nomi. Please, you can always just tweet me there about all this stuff or sports stuff, because you know it's March Madness right now, and I'm very glad I didn't have a bracket this year, because you know it's kind of crazy with all the upsets. So yeah, you could totally just bug me about sports on it.
Yep, yeah, feel free to bug us whenever. You can bug me about anime and also Undertale. I'm also Undertale trash, as anyone who's seen my Twitter can tell.
Aren't you done with Undertale yet?
No, I'm not. I'm not done. I'm never done.
Oh my god.
But anyway, so be sure to also check out the OASG, where we've got news reports, episodic anime reviews, all kinds of stuff coming up. So that's it. We will see you next time. Bye.
Take care, guys.